Praise the Lord. Well, how I got tangled up with all you lot, I don't know. but somehow it happened. I suppose I first met Craig in Cape Town somewhere, and one thing happened to another, and I found myself coming to Peter Maritzburg every 5 minutes. But it's been amazing and wonderful and great to just watch the Lord doing things over the years. It's been quite incredible. And I've had a few odd experiences myself. I remember one morning I was due to preach here, and at about sort of 9 o'clock, I didn't have the slightest idea what I was going to preach on. And I've been preaching on Galatians in various places, and I thought, Lord, why won't you give me something to say to these people? I didn't have anything to say. And then at the breakfast table, Craig said to me, can I share something with you? And I said, yeah, and he told me some bit of story, and instantly my message was given to me. And I came in here knowing exactly what to say from Galatians. And sometimes when I tell the story of prophetic preaching, I tell that story from Grace Generation Church. So I've had a few little experiences like that myself. It is just wonderful how God's led you. Really, just is quite overwhelming. The great model of a multiracial church. I came here in 1981 to South Africa to be the pastor of a Baptist church. And on the first meeting, I said, we are going to be multiracial church. It'll be 50-50%, 50-50, black and white before I leave. And it happened. But there were tough days, and there weren't many places in South Africa where that sort of thing was happening. And just a handful of people were really pioneering. And this was one of them, and things that Craig was doing in Cape Town as well. And so God did great things. God did great things before apartheid ended. There were churches getting ready for what was about to happen in those great days. Well, what I want to do this morning is to share with you from one verse in 1 Peter. I've been sharing in 1 Peter in various places. I think it was predestined before the foundation of the world that I should preach to you from one word from 1 Peter. If you have your Bibles, well, you don't even need your Bibles because it's just one line. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Peter says, to you, therefore, is the honor. We've used that word honor many times this morning. I didn't even know that Craig would use that word so often, but it's here in my text. To you, therefore, is the honor, to you who believe. But to the unbelieving, the stone which the builders rejected, this one became the head of the corner. But I'm interested in this phrase this morning. To you, therefore, is the honor. Peter has been talking about the gospel. He's been writing to these people who are being persecuted. They're in trouble, and there's all sorts of problems they're facing, and Peter tells them they must go through their trials and look to God and so on. But in the middle of it all, he starts talking about the church. In chapter 2, verse 4, come to Jesus. As you come to Jesus, he puts you into a living temple with living stones. He's talking about the church of Jesus. And then he comes to this line, which I want to focus on this morning. So the honor is for you who believe. That is the right translation. I think many translations say to you he is precious. That's not the right translation. The ESV, it gets it right. If you have an English Standard Version, that's the translation I'm using this morning. The ESV is more exact and accurate. So the honor is for you. And the Greek word means the preciousness, the tremendous value, the great and wonderful position that you're in. I think I would want to translate it, the privilege is for you. For you is the privilege. And that's the thing that's on my mind the most as I think about this fellowship and its history and the way it's come and the different things it's gone through, ups and downs, all sorts of different experiences. But the one thing that I think of is what a privilege it's been, what an amazing thing it's been to be in any way, from far off in Kenya or near at hand, to be in any way involved in what God has done here. I want us to look at it in five ways. I think this is a very easy text, not a difficult text. I haven't got any high theology to share to you this morning. You might be glad about that. But all I want to do is just meditate upon this phrase a little bit. Sometimes when you get to an easy verse of Scripture, you shouldn't just run on. You stop and stay with it. I rather like the line of the poet. He was a tramp who lived in London and wrote poetry, W.D. Davis. He said, how sad is life if full of care, we have no time to stop and stare. Sometimes in life you should just stop and stare. How sad is life if full of care you have no time to stop and stare, said W.D. Davis. But that's what I want to do this morning. All I want to do is stop and stare and, as it were, look around a bit and think what an amazing privilege it's been to be part of the kingdom of God, part of God's great salvation, and even part of this little fellowship here, and the great things God has done. I want to think about it by looking in five directions. I think we can look back, which is what we've been doing. We've been looking back. I think we should look within. I think we can look around. I think we can look forward. And I think we can look up. And I want us to focus on those five things this morning. First of all, and I'm not so much summarizing the history of the church, I'm more summarizing the privilege of the position that we're in. What a privilege it is to be in this kingdom of God. It's an amazing thing. It's going to last forever. The Bible says, he who does the will of God abides forever. The only thing which lasts forever and ever and ever is anything done for Jesus. Everything else is just lost somewhere. Everything which we do for Jesus is part of this amazing plan of God, and it literally lasts forever, a million years' time. Some of the little things we've done for Jesus will still somehow be in the records, and the echo of Jesus saying, well done, it'll still be going on. To you is this privilege. But first of all, we look back, and I'm not just thinking about history, I'm thinking of the whole Bible and the whole Christian situation we're in. I think, first of all, of Peter himself, this letter that I've been trying to share with you a little bit. It begins with Peter saying, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and writing to these churches in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia. Even that's amazing. When I read 1 Peter, the most amazing thing I find about 1 Peter is the first verse. Here's this Galilean fisherman writing to churches in Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia. Where are they? Well, they're way up on the Black Sea, halfway to Russia. What's a Galilean fisherman doing writing to people halfway to Russia? Well, the answer is, when you put your faith in Jesus, you never know what's going to happen to you. You never know. You might be in strange situations. You may have things that happen in your life. I shouldn't think Peter would ever have dreamed of this. Imagine that you came to Peter when he was a teenager and said, you said to him, one day you'll be an apostle relating to churches halfway to Russia. And he comes from Galilee. I mean, they used to say, can anything good come out of Galilee? This fisherman from Galilee is ministering to churches miles away. How is that? It's just the way that God has worked in his life. And when you put your life in the hands of Jesus, you have no idea what God might not be going to do with you. He might send you to places that you never dreamed of. I'm sure if I got all of you to tell your stories, there'd probably be dozens of people, even here this morning, who would never have dreamed in years gone by that there'd ever been a situation like this. That's the amazing ways of God. Even Peter's writing this letter itself is amazing. And it's amazing that who he's writing to. You may say, what sort of churches would these be? Well, I answer, they have to be multiracial churches. Because here is Peter, a Jew. He's very Jewish. And he's writing to Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia. They're not Jewish churches, though. Those are mixed churches of Jews and Gentiles. You talk about apartheid. There was no greater apartheid ever than the hatred and animosity between Jews and Gentiles. And do you remember the story of Peter? On one day, God appeared to Peter, gave him a vision, sent him to Cornelius' house. And do you remember what Peter said? Peter said, no, Lord, no, I've never done anything like that. Peter had never in his life been into a Gentile home. And you remember he went to see Cornelius. And when Peter came to see Cornelius, remember that, if you know your Bible, Acts chapter 10 and 11, that Cornelius fell upon the ground and almost worshipped Peter. Peter had never been in a Gentile home in his life, and that Gentile man Cornelius had never had a Jew in his home in his life. The two men had never, ever crossed any kind of barrier. And one day God says to Peter, go and see Cornelius. And Peter said, no, no, no. He even argues with God. But you see, the day comes when Jews and Gentiles are together. And the Bible says he broke down the dividing wall of partition. And he's made the both one. To those who are far off, the Gentiles and the Jews, those who are near the Jews, he's made them both one. It's not so much that A has swallowed up B or that the B has swallowed up A. They've both come together and made something new. That's the Church of Jesus Christ. He takes people from all sorts of different backgrounds, people who never ever really got on with each other. And somehow he brings them, not A swallowing up B or B swallowing up A, but both coming into something new. breaking down the dividing wall. And here is Peter. Here is Peter, the Jew of all Jews, a man living in Galilee who has never in his life been into a Gentile home. He's now ministering and praying and writing and sending letters to mixed congregations way up on the border of the Black Sea. He's writing to multiracial churches or multi-ethnic, multi-whatever you want to call it. Imagine you'd said that to Peter in his early days. And that's what's happened here. Who would have dreamed? I just look around here. What a technicolor lot you all are. They're all coming from different places, different languages. What an amazing thing. To you is the privilege. When you look back and see what God has done. And it happened in the church. And it happens again and again and again. And then there's the way in which it happens. How did it happen? Well, it happened not just because you made political decisions or some government change. We are here because we were born again. It's the new birth that brought us here. And Peter says that. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has caused us to be born again. That's the thing that creates this new fellowship. Just look at your past. How do you come to be where you are here this morning? Well, God stepped into your life. God opened your eyes. I don't know about you, but I got saved as a little boy. I'm still recovering from the shock. You know, things that you never sort of dreamed of, things that you never imagined would ever happen, and you find yourself in a fellowship, you find your sins are forgiven, you're a new person, you're born again. Think of the way in which you come. To you is the privilege. To you is the high honor. To you is this amazing, great, precious thing that the Apostle Peter is talking about. And then, even more wonderful, there is the person through whom it's happened. How did all these amazing things happen? Well, it didn't come because you were clever or because you were religious or because your politics were right. It happened through Jesus. It came through the Son of God. God sent his Son to take a people for himself. And he takes them from all sorts of places. Peter from some fisherman in Galilee of all places. Some guy in Pontus. Some other fellow in Galatia. Somebody else in Roman Asia. He takes all these people. It's all done through the Lord Jesus Christ. This church of the Lord Jesus. But Peter calls it a living temple. A temple where every stone is alive. It's a weird picture. I mean, whoever found a building you could talk to, a stone that's alive, it's a crazy picture. But it's the only picture that Peter can find in order to express what's happening here. A temple where everyone is knitted, all the stones are knitted together, and there's a cornerstone, Jesus, upon whom it's all built. What's amazing as you look back is not just the way you've come, not just the privileges that God has given to you, not just the new birth, not just the extraordinary things that God has done in your life, but the person through whom it's been done. The Lord Jesus Christ, that God should send his Son. There's three persons in God, and the Father says to the Son, I want you to take flesh. I mean, that's just blows your mind anyway. The Son of God taking flesh and becoming a human being and dying upon a cross. The Holy Spirit being poured out. People being born again. The whole thing is totally amazing, is it not? If you're not surprised at being a Christian, then I'm not sure whether you're a Christian at all. Remember what the great hymn writer put, Charles Wesley, and can it be? And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Saviour's love? Died he for me? Died he for me? For me? Who him to death pursued? Amazing love! How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? To you is the honour. To you is the privilege that God should have done such things in your life. Well, as you look back, you see these amazing things that God has done. Oh, but then you don't only look back, you look within. And that might surprise you a bit, because, or you might not even think this ought to come in my list, because when you look within, the first thing is that you're a bit discouraged. It's not so marvellous to look within. When you look within, you discover your own sinfulness, your weakness, all the things you shouldn't have done, all the things you shouldn't have thought, all the things you shouldn't have said. And you think, oh, well, as I look in me, I don't find much that's really pleasing to God. Yeah, but that's only the beginning of the story. Because Peter says, look, it doesn't matter what you were initially. You were born again. You were born again. When you look within, well, to begin with, you think, well, there's not much within me that really is very great. But then you discover, yeah, but that's not the whole story. You've been given a new nature. You're a new person. You're a new woman. You can say to yourself, well, I'm not what I'd like to be. I don't sort of think too highly of myself, but I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm born again. I've got a living hope. I know I'm going to glory. I know I've got a new nature. I know I love the Bible. I know I love Jesus. I know I love these people. We know, says the Bible, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. We do know. We know that we love God's people. You love God's people. Do you love being here? Are you here this morning and you love being here? You love people. You're sitting next to somebody who's not like you. You wouldn't normally choose that person as your friend, and yet you feel close just because they're saved and you're saved and you've got something that connects you with them. And you say, well, I know. I love the brothers and sisters. Ah, you've passed from death to life. You're not what you ought to be, but you're not what you are either. You're not what you used to be. You've changed. You're a new person. Even as you look within, you see the new nature. And you say, well, there's a lot in me that's weak, but I know that there's something in me that comes from God. I know that I do understand who Jesus is. I've seen him. My eyes have been opened. I'm born again. I'm a new person. I know I love God. And even though I often fail, I want to be righteous. I want to be holy. I want to be pure. What an amazing thing has happened. Even within, something within has happened. And over the course of these 21 years, there have been many, many, many people who have been changed within. And if it's not happened to you, it can happen to you this morning. Put your faith in Jesus. There are dozens, maybe hundreds of people who here in this building, ones that we've used before, who have been transformed from within by putting their faith in Jesus. And things that they never could have done. They never could have lived for God. They never could have put down sin. They never could have resisted temptation. Their life would have got narrower and narrower and drier and deader and more unspiritual. Ah, but God stepped into their lives. Happened to many, many. So we can look back, we can look in and say, oh, what a privilege, what a marvel, what a wonder. To you who believe is the honor, to you who believe is the high privilege. So we look back, we look within, and then we look around, we look at each other, and we say, well, you know, I never would have been close to him before, but somehow he's made me one. This black guy, oh, I love him so much. And this lady, she's not the kind of lady I would normally live with. She's a bit of a weird lady. Oh, but she's saved. I like her so much just because I can see Jesus in her. You look around and see all these people. You would not choose them as your friends. You see, there's a difference, isn't there, between friends and brothers and sisters. You choose your friends, but you don't choose your brothers and sisters. You get born in a family, whether you like it or not, you've got brothers and sisters. You didn't choose them, you're just given them, whether you like them or whether you don't. It's the same in the Christian church. You don't always choose them, but they're just given to you. But then you discover that you love them a lot, even though you wouldn't have chosen them as your friends. They're not quite your type. Though they're not quite your type, you share Jesus with them. You share the love of God with them. You see something in them. I remember something happened to me many, many years ago when I was a student. I was a student once in London, or my home was in London. I was a student in Bristol. And I was back home in London for some Christmas time, and I was hard up with money, as students normally are. And I went and got a job in King's Cross Station at Christmas time, railway station, unloading trains being used by the postal service in the Christmas rush. And there were many of us. There was a gang of students there, all unloading sacks of postage at Christmas time. And we all came from nearby, Chapel Market and all these places in Islington in London. Except one guy, he came from Jamaica. And we'd been there a couple of days, and I discovered that this Jamaican guy was saved. And every time we had a gap in between the trains, which we were unloading, we would talk, and how do you get saved? Where do you come from? What are you doing here? What church do you go to? And we'd be chatting and talking about Jesus. And then one of the other guys came to me one day. He said, you know, you're a bit of a weird guy. And I said, yeah, I know, but what are you thinking about? And he said, well, you know, you come from the same place that we come. You're a Chapel Market boy like all the rest of us. But you get on with that fellow more than you do with us. How comes? You're one of us, but you get on more with him than you do with us. You're talking to him all the time, and you seem to like him a lot. Well, why is it you're closer to him than you are to all the rest of us, although you really came from the same place that we come from? The answer was easy. We might not come from the same place, but we're going to the same place. We're going to the heavenly glory. We're going to the heavenly glory. doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter where you come from. It only matters where you're going to. It's not where we come from that unites us. It's where we're going to that unites us. And when we look around, we're going, we've got a common destiny, a common experience, a common Savior, a common Holy Spirit, a common faith, a common Bible, a common, there's so much to be in common. Even though it's so diverse in our origins and we come from all these different places, yet we're going to the one place and we're going together. It reminds me of the great story of Matthew Henry, the commentator. Do you know the famous Bible commentator, Matthew Henry? His father was a man called Philip Henry. And he was a Christian man. And he fell in love with a lady called Miss Matthews. And Miss Matthews went to her dad and she said, you know, this man, Philip Henry, the pastor down the road, we want to get married. And her dad said to him, Philip Henry, he's just a preacher. You want to marry a preacher? Where's he come from? And Miss Matthews says to her dad, I don't care where he comes from, but I care where he's going to, and I want to go with him. And they got married, and they had a son, and the son was Matthew Henry, the famous commentator. You see, that's the story. We're going together. We're going together. You look around. You look around. And you see brothers and sisters, people you would never have been close to if you had not been saved. But your salvation has brought you into friendships you really would never have. I mean, this weird guy who's sitting in front, how comes I'm ever a friend of you? I wouldn't be friends with a guy like you with your weird accent. But you know, yeah, but we find we could do things together in Jesus. And now he's one of my best friends and we're close together. This is it. When we look around, we say, oh, what an honor, what a privilege to be looking around and seeing these people of God. So we look back, we look within, we look around, and we look forward. And there's something a bit dangerous about these great celebrations of ours. Don't get too joyful of how good you've been done, because you find the devil will be on your back next week. Don't get too excited about the past. You see, I like it when the Bible contradicts itself. People like to find contradictions, so do I. I like it when the Bible contradicts itself. You remember that great verse in the book of Deuteronomy where God says to Moses, beware lest you forget. You know that verse in Deuteronomy? When you get into the great days and you're really flourishing and you're prospering, God said to Moses, beware lest you forget. Don't forget the way that God has led you, all the way the Lord has led you. Don't forget it. Remember your origins. Remember what great things you did. Remember how it was God's grace that brought you through. Beware that you forget. But then Paul says, forgetting the things that are behind, I press on. You see, sometimes the Bible contradicts itself. The Bible's not a logical book. Don't demand the Bible to be logical. Sometimes it contradicts itself. And when it contradicts itself, both things are true. Don't forget how the Lord's led you. Full of grace, full of mercy, full of tenderness. But then, in another sense, you do forget. You're not living on the past. Don't live upon the past. There are new things out there, a lot of new things to be done. And so, as you look around, the honor is not only where you're coming from, but the honor is where you're going to. There's new things out there to be done. There's a lot to be done in this country. It's my opinion, you can think about it, it's my opinion that there's a kind of quiet revival going on in this land. Year by year, as I visit South Africa several times a year, every place I ever go to, the Christians are getting stronger and larger and bigger. It's sort of very encouraging. And yet, there are great weaknesses. There are gaps. There are holes. There are areas in the national life which are hopelessly pagan and useless. And where there are churches that don't even seem to know what the gospel is. There's a lot to be done. There's a lot to be done. And we have to press forward. Paul says, forgetting the things that are behind, I press on towards the goal for the mark of the high calling in God. You must not only look back, you must look forward. There's new things to be done out there. There's a lot to be done for the Lord in preaching the gospel, in laying foundations. I was saying yesterday, you can't expect the fire of God to fall unless there's something for the fire to fall upon. You have to have the sacrifice for the fire to come down. There's a lot to be done in preaching the gospel in new places, areas where the gospel's not really being preached properly. There's a lot of blessing, but there's also a lot more to be done. You look forward. What a privilege to look forward with the hope that God might use us and might use God's people. We're so weak. We're nobody very special. We're just ordinary sinners. No super saints among us. The super saint is Jesus. But what a privilege to look forward to the future. Don't get too stuck in the past. There's new things to be done. Press on to new things. We look back, we look within, we look around, we look forward. Ah, but most of all, we look up. We look up to God. It is God who's been behind it all. It is God who led it. Sometimes we didn't even know what we were doing. Craig said to me one day, you're writing your systematic theology. How long will it take? I said, I don't know, 10 years or so. He said, 10 years? I can't wait 10 years. I want it now. And I said, okay, you can arrange a few meetings and I'll come and chat over a few things. And I don't think we even knew what we were doing. A few years later, 7 years later, we have this big fat book. It's the biggest book I've ever written. I didn't even write it. You do things and you don't even know what's going to come out of it. It's God, it's God. And you know, God likes planting mustard seeds, tiny little seeds that really seem quite insignificant, but one day they become something big. And you think, how did that great tree come out of a little mustard seed? That's God. We look up. We give him praise. We give him thanks. We give him expectation. We tell him how we are expecting to stay with us. All the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my God? Tis, another hymn puts it, 'tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. There's more to be done. There's a future out there. And we look up. We look up. God is with us. The devil's around. Don't forget him, because he has to be dealt with. But God is there, and he's leading us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He has a future for us. Look back and praise God. Look within and say, well, Lord, I'm so weak, but I've got such a lot to praise you for. Look around and say, Lord, I'm so thankful for these people. Look forward and think, Lord, what are you going to do with me in the future? What a privilege, what an honor. To you is the honor. And then look up. There's one condition. To you is the honor, says Peter, to you who believe. There's only one thing you ever did. You did believe. You believed in Jesus. Even that was God working in you, but he led you to believe, to trust in Jesus. To those who do not believe, or the stone that the builders rejected, they rejected Jesus. Jesus, who wants Jesus, they said. But the stone that the builders rejected became the head of the corner. He became the triumph, the one upon which everything is built. Only one condition to all of this, that is that you put yourself as a living stone upon the cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the key to it all. To you who believe, is this high honor. When you look back, when you look within, when you look around, when you look forward, and when you look up, and you give him the praise and the glory for all that he's done for you over those years. So I'll stop there. We've got a lot to do this morning, so I won't be long. But what a privilege, what an honor, what amazing things that God should use. People like you and me, how much we must praise him, worship him. Give him the glory. Take none of it for ourselves. All the way my Saviour leads me. What have I to ask beside? What a great Saviour we have. But what an honour, what a privilege that he should lay hold of people like you and people like me. Amazing grace. That's how we live. Let's pray and let's stand together as we move on this morning.